Restaurants are back open. Chicago and surrounding suburbs back open again this weekend after being shut, some of them, since the end of October. So how to go? We asked Luke Canellis about that a little earlier. He told us there was big demand at his places and from the folks he talked to across the restaurant community. A lot of people just wanted to get out and sort of feel what it's like to be in a restaurant again. And I don't blame them. It's, they're doing it safely, 25% capacity. But here we go. Alderman Brendan Riley has been an advocate for the restaurants to reopen. Alderman, how you doing? How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. How you been?
All right. You know, hey, this does feel like a little bit of a... you know, return to doing some of the things we used to do that sort of, you know, help you get through things. Did you have a chance to survey the restaurant scene at all, check it out, what's going on in your ward? And I guess my question to you is, what did you see? What did you learn?
Yeah, of course I did. As you mentioned, I've been advocating for trying to, you know, get a responsible and safe reopening for this industry for a long time. Obviously, the COVID data has been what it's been, and the governor and the mayor didn't have a whole lot of options to support this industry. So I did want to see how the reopening went. And I can tell you that I visited a lot of places, not as a customer, but just to talk with managers, chefs, owners. And there was some excitement. I got the sense for the first time in a long time that there was some hope with people who've really been teetering on the brink of collapse here due to no fault of their own. And so... I think their customer base certainly showed their support. But what I saw was responsibly, socially distanced, limited capacity, indoor service. And I saw the operators obeying the rules dutifully, a lot of mask usage, a lot of repeat cleaning. And those are the things that the city needs to see in every establishment for this to be successful and safe. So I know people, this has been a long time coming. We don't want to lose any of this ground, though, and so, you know, my hope is that the general public continues to follow those basic rules that have been laid out by the CDC and others so that those statistics don't go upside down again, because every time this industry has to shut down, it really takes an irreparable toll on them. So they're excited about rehiring their employees, bringing many of their employees back to work. And that is only good news for the local economy. So I do hope we can keep this going.
Yeah, I do too. I really do. I've been an advocate for this to happen too, in a safe way for things to reopen. And when you talk to restaurateurs, they'll tell you exactly what you just said. A, this doesn't save them. It's a lifeline at 25%. They can hopefully make ends meet. But that, you know, they can't afford another closing. So they're going to want to abide by all the rules and all the health and safety protocols because they can't afford this shutdown, startup thing. That's killing them too. There's something I want to ask you about though, Alderman. I know you look at a lot of the data here and you're good at sort of parsing it, but I when I hear from the restaurant folks and the people, the leaders within that community, they come on the show and they talk about how the data does not support that we've seen spreads really linked back to restaurants. Is that what you've been able to determine when you look at it? Is that your read as well?
That is my read. I know that if you were to talk to an epidemiologist or a doctor over at Northwestern, they'd give the opinion that, you know, any of these venues are going to, you know, potentially spread COVID. And I think that's been acknowledged. But as far as being a super high risk and having been found to be the source of major spreading events, that has not occurred in the hospitality and the restaurant industry in any meaningful way, certainly not in Illinois. And so when you look at the data in our neighboring states that have been far more lax in their hospitality policies, some that have not really ever shut down, and you compare those to ours and you know the different peaks in the spread, you don't see a direct correlation there between restaurants being open and spread. Where you see it are in group home settings, where you see it are private parties, Airbnb, the hotel parties that have been occurring from time to time. Those are the kinds of things, large family gatherings that have been absolutely proven to spread these things. And I know you said it before listening to your show and people you've had on. Why wouldn't you want to supervise people in social settings to make sure they are engaging in responsible distancing and wearing masks? So I do think that they've been unfairly burdened with public health policies when a lot of other sectors have been allowed to remain open. to relatively large groups of people.
Alderman Riley, can you stick around for a minute or two here? I want to ask you about carjackings. Huge stuff going on in council last week. Very impactful testimony, I felt, from people who have been carjacked. And then some new plans moving forward, right? We're gonna hopefully do some things new and different to combat this. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely happy to stick around for that. That's an important one.
It is an important one. Thanks, Alderman Riley. Just hang on a second. It's 2:14 WGM. We'll pause for a moment, and then we're back with Alderman Riley in a moment. Pretty powerful at council Friday when families of carjacking victims and victims themselves were pretty much begging the city and police and leaders across the state, the county and city, I should say, more like it, to just stop it. Well, what's going on here, and what can be done to combat this? Alderman Brendan Riley is with us. This is something else I know you have been talking to folks in your ward about, and you also have great relations with police. And tell us, what can you tell us here, Alderman? What's happening and what's being done?
As you mentioned, we had a really lengthy public hearing at City Council on Friday, and we heard a lot of public testimony from folks who were impacted by carjackings, victims. And what was really powerful to me was the diversity of voices from all over the city of Chicago, south side, west side, north side, downtown, who have strong belief, and I think they're right, that our criminal justice system is failing on this issue that's spiraling completely and totally out of control. And one of the things we heard over and over again consistently is there need to be consequences. This needs to be considered a serious crime. And during testimony, we heard from public officials in the state's attorney's office and with CPD that although the police are arresting a whole lot of carjackers, very, very few are being prosecuted at the felony level, where there are impactful and meaningful jail time assigned for breaking the law. And so when there's a lack of accountability for what is usually a violent crime, you're going to continue to see this happen and grow in frequency, and that's where we are today. And so part of it certainly is that there needs to be much more accountability for this criminal act. We also have an issue. We learned that the vast majority of those folks that are committing these crimes are between the ages of 15 and 20. And if you're under the age of 18, you are processed through our juvenile justice system. And as we all know, penalties in that system are far less severe, and kids are, in some cases, rightfully so, given the opportunity to, never repeat again. But we're seeing such a recidivism rate and so many repeat offenders, that's clearly not working either. And then finally, do the police have the tools and technology they need to safely apprehend the carjackers? And the answer to that question is no, they don't. And so we talked about all of these things, plus the other layer to the onion, which is investing in communities and in these kids so that they have more productive things to do with their time than steal cars. So a lot of stuff to handle there, but I focused in on technology and our helicopter, and that maybe is something we could talk about. But
yeah, I do want to hear more about
issue.
That, because I think it is a complex issue, and I know police say that, you know, they're pretty much given the orders they can't chase, so how do you go after a car? How do you find them? If you can't, it sounds like the helicopter was successful this weekend. Didn't they employ it and was successful in a carjacking situation?
They sure did, and then they have many times before, but the problem that the city of Chicago has is that we have a grand total of two helicopters to cover this really, really big city, and one of those helicopters is never in service. So we're really policing the city with one police helicopter. And to give you some context, Los Angeles has 17 in the air any given time, and the city of New York has 8. So I feel like the police department here should be given some additional resources when it comes to that, because to your point, as a matter of policy and to limit the city's liability and to prevent, you know, pedestrians and civilians from being hurt or killed, we have a no-chase policy. The only way, the best way, and the safest way to track these folks and catch them where they stopped the vehicle is via helicopter. And so I'm not suggesting we have 50 helicopters, but two or three sure would be nice. And I also have learned through my research that our helicopters we currently have are very expensive to maintain per hour. And if we were to buy newer, cheaper helicopters, they'd be almost half the price to maintain. So from a budgetary standpoint, that's good math, too. But I do think that our police need extra tools like that and our license plate reader cameras that I've been investing a lot of public money in downtown. We need more of that, too. But certainly, until there's accountability in the criminal justice system for doing this, it's going to continue. And I'm hoping Friday's committee hearing was a wake-up call for everybody involved, especially the folks who were presiding over our courts, that they really do need to make this a serious, serious crime, so that kids learn this is not something we want to do again. So, it's very frustrating, and we can't afford to see this thing. We're seeing 8 or 9 carjackings a day right now. Completely and totally unacceptable.
Absolutely.
And not a single alderman is satisfied with this. All of our constituents collectively are scared. And the city has to step up, and the county has to step up.
But am I right that the county courts didn't send a representative to this meeting? That everyone was there, the police and all those folks? I mean, I heard they weren't there.
Yeah, one of the most important legs on that three-legged stool failed to show up. And I suspect it's because it wouldn't have gone very well for those folks speaking for the Cook County court system. They don't have a lot of good answers because the results have been horrendous. And the sentencing has been horrendous. But more importantly, I want to make sure that if the police are doing the good police work and detective work to catch these carjackers, I want to make sure that they're being properly prosecuted. And if they're committing these crimes with a gun, God forbid, they should be prosecuted as felonies, period. And that will send a strong message to a lot of people. You're going to do a lot of time in prison if you try this. Don't bother. So that, to me, is also really, really important for us to get right.
I'd agree, and I hope we do for all of us. I mean, I saw Mike Royko's son, Sam Royko, was one of those who spoke about a carjacking, talking about how much he loves Chicago, and I believe in our city, but we're seeing that people are afraid to just drive around the streets, and that can't be. I agree with him wholeheartedly. Love the city. I personally know 2 people who've been carjacked in the past year. Didn't know a soul my entire life here who would ever gone through that.
These are brazen acts. These are happening in broad daylight, in the middle of the day, in commercial districts with lots of people on the street. So, I mean, it's not like these are all happening at nighttime when there aren't a lot of people around. It's just there is no fear of consequences to the extent where these folks will do this within a block or two of a squad car. It's out of control.
That part has to get right, and I know you guys are on it, and appreciate the time this afternoon, Alderman Riley. Always love hearing from you, and I know these are issues that you go after. You get the answers, and hopefully the solutions will follow. We'll see this. We'll see a change, right? That's what we want. Appreciate the time.
We're not going to give up on this one. I promise.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon. Okay. Try to stay out of that snow, or do whatever you do when it snows. I don't know. Go home and hide.
I'll be out in the truck with the plow.
Okay. We'll look for you there. Thanks, Alderman Riley there. Alderman Brendan Riley. Good talking with you.